It's the Poofcast, yes. A very special episode of the Poofcast.
Very special episode. Yes, the Poofcast is filmed in front of a live studio
audience. Whenever anyone says a very special episode, I just go, oh, they've jumped the fucking shark, yeah. Those useless cunts.
Pretty much.
I feel like we're doing Roseanne or Family Ties. But it is a special episode of the Poofcast. Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
Two bottles down.
This is our It Gets Better special edition.
So I'll admit, I don't know the first thing about makeup because I'm a top.
Fit to me. Well, Toby, Scott has a project for us.
Yes.
Good.
I've been a little obsessed lately by the It Gets Better videos.
Very worthy.
On the internet. Yeah, I know, I'm so worthy.
You're so fucking
I'm
worthy.
I'm so worthy. But I just
so how many crystals do you have shoved up your ass when you're saving that whale?
Six or seven, depending on the day. But I
like Tony Abbott.
Six or seven. I just thought that we could maybe do a bit of a It Gets Better chat.
Because no one wants to see our fat heads.
No,
it will
just. Well, if we're actually saying it gets better, it's just seeing is just going to negate the message. Let's face it.
Yeah.
I just thought we'd have a bit of a chat. You know, if there's, I'm not sure who listens. I know we have a lot of out and proud people who listen, but there might be some people.
There are
who
some
listen.
Kids. We know there's some kids.
There are some young
there
people.
There might be some people at the back of the closet way there in Narnia getting bummed off by Mr. Tumnus under the lamp. Who?
Wow, someone's really thought about this a lot.
Wow.
James McAvoy played Mr. Tumnus, and I have been thinking about it a lot.
You right. Got centaur porn.
I've got a James McAvoy thing.
Right.
Valid.
Fair enough.
Scottish. Yeah. Half gauche.
And anyway, we digress.
Sorry.
But I just thought, you know, we could have a bit of an It Gets Better. Because the premise of the videos is whatever you're going through now, it gets better. And as kind of older gay men in the prime of our lives, we are in kind of certain positions and our lives are pretty good in terms of the gay.
I hated being gay for the longest time. I was really resentful of it.
Really?
You always hated it.
Yeah, I was furious about it. I was really angry about it and I would wish and wish and wish it would go away.
What was...
like a third arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I could have this gayness lobbed off. What was the turning point then?
Oh, I can't pick a specific moment.
Was it Peter?
I still hated it after I shacked up with Peter.
Well, no, you hated him.
I love the thought of you and Peter having sex and going, I hope you know I'm not enjoying this.
I don't think there was a specific moment, but I'll say this, that it's probably, what is it now, 2012? Maybe when I spoke to my parents about it, maybe that felt better.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Maybe they were okay with it.
Because they weren't as judgmental as you expected them to be? Or
Because my family's really hardcore Catholic.
Yeah.
Like furiously Catholic. And Dad, who's the most Catholic, was simply wonderful about it. And I think that maybe relaxed me a bit about it. And that was only like, what is it, 2000? It was like maybe 7 or 8 years ago.
This is one of the things I love about Catholics as opposed to the church.
Yes.
Generally, the Catholics themselves have taken on the teachings of Christ, which is, you know, love one another.
Yeah, the individuals
everyone
are
fine. Can be absolved. Yeah. You know, you do good works, all that kind of thing. And when things like that come up, they are generally quite amazing about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Unless they go and ask for guidance from perhaps.
Oh, yes.
Of their parish.
Don't go to the Pope. Don't go to the Pope.
That's generally when they come home and say hideous things to their kids, when they've asked for guidance.
When they've asked someone,
from within the institution. But the doctrines that have been given to them are often counter to what they feel, what the organization says.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, what you get taught by Catholicism is not let's hate everyone who's not one of us.
Yeah.
It's let's help other people.
It's what would Jesus do?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's that whole thing of like, you know, Catholics going off to other countries to go, no, we'll put the water in. We'll help the little...
Yeah, we'll help with the whale or we'll, save like the babies.
Yeah, it's... Mm. And it baffles me that the organisation is so fucked up.
Yes.
When the actual teachings of the religion seem so sensible.
Well, look, in any which way, I mean, I'm not even going to get into that because that's like such a quagmire. But in my particular instance, which is what the It Gets Better thing is all about, he was a prince. He was great about it. Mm. I was kind of dreading it. You know what? I haven't really thought about it before. Maybe that was it.
Right.
Really dreading it.
Talking to your dad and being quite nice about it.
Yeah, he was effortless. Mum was hysterical.
Oh, really? Oh. Go on, what happened?
I decided to do it right. For the longest time, I just didn't think it was any of their fucking business. It was just not of interest. But when
how old were you when you did it?
It was when I moved in with Peter. It was when I decided to move in with Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, so when did I do that? I was like 29 or something.
Right. So nearly 30.
Yeah.
Like properly grown up.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh, it's just going to be ridiculous to still.
Just a matter of courtesy.
Living with my housemate.
Yeah.
So I just thought, fuck this. I'll just rip the scab off.
Oh, Peter, he's not a scab.
And, and mum was, mum, if you're listening, you shouldn't be. But mum was hysterical.
Oh, God.
I invited mum around. Guess what? Have a glass of wine, mum. Guess what? I'm gay. No, you go to bathhouses.
Oh, really?
I mean, you could, classic, you could be a drug addict. Oh.
So she'd obvious, which indicates she'd been thinking you were for some time.
I suppose.
And
I
she had, it had been she on had her formulated mind, a kind of identity.
And she had extrapolated a crazy life for
yeah.
you.
Do you know what? After that sentence, I kind of lost interest in talking to her about it. So I don't know what was going on. She was hysterical. She was grand opera. And I think she was also afraid. Why am I even talking about this? What? She was afraid of my father's reaction because he's a very stern man. Mm. Like he's an authoritative figure in the family. So I think her initial impulse was,
don't tell your father.
My husband is going to freak out. This is going to be a huge shitstorm. So I think collectively the entire family was terrified of what dad was going
to
do.
Yeah. And he turned out to be.
So I go out there one Saturday afternoon and I'm like shitting bricks because I thought, oh, this is going to be brimstone. He's going to he might hit me, you know, like anything could kick off. He's a serious Catholic. This is a big deal. Holy shit.
Mm.
And I go, so, yay. And he goes, well, I can remember the exact words.
Mm.
He didn't even pause. He said, well, that's who you are and I love you. So stay for dinner.
And were you just like, but
I fucking just about fainted. I was like, yeah, come on. I've been punked. I admit it.
Yeah, okay.
Give me the brimstone. Show me the real shit. Oh, I was flabbergasted.
Wow.
And I've never really thought about it before, but maybe that's what relaxed me about it.
Yeah right. That's
I love that. That's really sweet.
Yeah, that is sweet. And now, how are they? Well, Dad's clearly okay.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're fine. They're fine. They're fine.
And they love Peter, obviously.
Dad will not shut the fuck up about adopting. Stop it.
Oh,
we're not going to adopt.
Oh, they want kids?
Yeah, they want kids.
Isn't it enough that Lucy's got kids?
They've got heaps of kids.
Yeah.
But they want you to have
but
more.
But Dad insists that everyone is a winner.
Oh, everyone,
that's kind of cute.
Everyone pays out.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. At least, you know.
So they're really good. And I don't know, maybe supportive. That was a trigger, but I really relaxed about it. Because for years before that, I was really resentful.
That is a huge thing, telling parents.
Telling parents is a nightmare.
That is a huge thing. And I can remember when I came out to my
because you were both out very young.
I was out at about 21, I think I came out to my mum.
16.
It was hard to ignore with you, though, wasn't it?
A little bit.
And what was the deal with that, with the reaction?
I did it on a particularly heinous night where there'd been a big fight in the house. My mum had thrown my dad out. And I went, oh, by the way, while this is all going on.
Fuck.
Did you think you'd try and sneak it in?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
Sort of, and she's like, oh, well.
Like when they have a big news day and they sneak in.
Yeah. Did the words, well, duh, come out of her mouth?
They might as well have.
Right.
No, she was like, well, do you need to see a doctor or anything? I went, no, I don't think there's antibiotics for it. I did actually say that. And she's like.
That's good. That's very good.
And she said, are you sure? And I went, well, you know, isn't your brother gay? She goes, yes. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, so you had a gay uncle to pave the way.
You've got a gay uncle.
Right, of course.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a, eh.
Yeah, whatever.
It was one of those moments of like, I felt like she was asking the questions just to go, well, certain things I probably should do now that he's finally said it.
Tick the boxes.
But also, you know, being 16, and it was in, like, I was 16 in 1987.
Mm-hmm. She says.
So. Maybe it's 85. Anyway.
So was it ever bad for you? Because I always get this. I've always known you as like ebulliently gay. Was it ever bad for you?
No, no, no. The rest of my life was bad. The gay thing was fine.
I've never known you to be uncomfortable in your skin.
Yeah.
No.
As a gay?
Not as a gay. As a human, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twisted. Mm. But yeah, well, I guess because so much of my life was so fucked up that it was the one thing that I had.
It's the least of my fucking
lives. Yeah, it was the constant.
Well, not so much that, but it was like a, it felt like, not like a choice, but like,
was it kind of, well, I've got that bit sorted?
Tick. Not so much that, but it was sort of like, you know what? All the things that make my life so awful, like, this is something I have control over, maybe, or yeah, it's something that I can own. Like,
is it because,
and also is kind of a point of difference.
Yeah.
That kind of gives you an identity outside of
also,
all the other shit.
I've always, this has always been a belief of mine, and it's, you know, I feel it now as a fat person, and I felt it then, like I wasn't fat then, but I felt it then as, you know, someone who was a bit camp, like that by owning who you are, by saying, yes, I'm gay, yes, I'm, you know, attracted to men, then it takes the power away from anyone that wants to make you feel less than you are.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Because if someone says, you're a faggot, you go, well, yeah.
I just said that 10 minutes ago. How can you not pick on me for that?
Duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
sure.
It's like, you
sure.
know, yeah, I'm a faggot and you're stupid. What other obvious things are we going to be saying to each other today? Yeah.
Did you think there was a bit of, because your family was difficult at times, do you think there was a bit of alternative family going on?
Yeah, I mean, definitely when I was like, when I finished school, when I was out, you know, hanging out with my gay friends, they were more my family than my family.
Yeah.
But no, I think it was just, it was not an easy thing to hide.
Yeah.
Also, it was the era of Boy George and, you know, there was a lot of talk about it. AIDS was happening. So there was a lot of talk about being gay.
And being gay also was a scary proposition because of AIDS, because of all that. It was.
Yeah, that's true. Coming out in the 80s would have been
terrifying. It would have been really hard, yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I as much as I like the idea of the It Gets Better videos, I think the one thing that they kind of forget to say is that, you know, it gets easier. But it doesn't get better. Like, people are still fucked.
Yeah. It doesn't get perfect.
Like, people are still assholes. People are the same kind of assholes as adults that they are as children. They are the same bullies. They're the same marginalizing assholes. But you have built so many different ways of dealing with it.
You become better at navigating it.
Yes.
When you're a child teenager, you're powerless.
I think rather than it becomes better, it should be you become better.
You become better.
Yeah.
You become better.
Yeah.
You get better at being you, and you get better at dealing with the fuck knuckles that invariably come into our lives because, you know, they're on the same fucking tram or they're at the same pub or you're related to them.
I come across those sorts of people less and less and less and less.
Yeah, but you live in fucking Brunswick.
I know,
like really inner city and you wouldn't bump
totally
into...
I'm totally in a city.
But your biggest problem would be dealing with hipsters.
Yeah.
That's
which
the whole
is
point
annoying,
of,
let's
of,
face
of
it.
The discussion is that as you grow older, you get more powerful and you have more options
and you create
you are
the world
able to make more decisions about your life.
But you
if you're some
better.
Teenager and fucking asshole hill, then you don't have the power to make any decisions.
You've got
so
no power
with
at
your
all.
Lot.
Yeah.
And so the It Gets Better campaign is about don't bail out now.
It's
difficult, but hang in there because soon, very, very soon, you will get the option to make a choice.
Yeah.
About
and
your
also,
life.
But I just don't want anyone thinking that at some point people aren't going to be fucked because people are fucked.
They're fucked.
Like, people are going to be fucked.
Look at Tony Abbott. Like, people are fucked.
You've really just hit the pinnacle there, haven't you?
But you know, they're also, you will meet amazing people.
Yep.
You will come across some incredible people who will change your life. And why would you bail out now when, I mean, Lady Gaga's got a new album on the way.
Well, that's it. That's it.
That was the one thing. Whenever I had those dark days, I would always have the, I really do want to bail out now, but, you know, I might miss out on that new Mariah album.
You need to write to Mariah.
There might be a transcendent moment where she squeals in that little squealy voice of hers that makes me have a little tear at the corner of my eye. And I don't want to miss that.
Well, I guess the point you're making is whatever gets you through.
Yeah.
Gets you through. Yes.
And if it's masturbating to Nick Jonas, then by all means.
Then by all means do it. It's not a crime.
Let her rip.
I wanted to sort of make a point because in my story, I came out when I was 21. And I can remember telling my mum, because I never actually told my dad.
You've never told him, still to this day.
Still to this day, but he knows, like, clearly, like, you know, he...
Well, you know.
You know, who
He
wouldn't?
Reads the paper.
Reads the paper.
He goes to public toilets.
But there was never
Surely
a moment...
it's out there in the ether.
Yes. But there was never a moment when I sat down and told him.
There was
just
never
because,
a crisis.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't really have that sort of relationship with my dad, or I never did. I do kind of now.
Yeah.
And we talk about things like that now, but I never at the time. But I remember when
he
I told...
He knows you're mad for Big Black Cock?
Oh, fucking love it. But I remember when I told my mum, it came as a complete shock to her, I know, which would come as a complete shock to you.
It's a complete shock to me that it came as a complete shock to you.
I know. Yes. But I told her, and I remember at the time when I told her, I said that she was just shocked and just struck dumb.
Mm.
And I said, will you ever be able to accept it? And she shook her head no. And I was heartbroken because we've always been really close.
You did sewing together.
I know.
That is so interesting because I know how close you are now.
And now it took maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
And like I'm best friends with my mum. My mum is awesome.
I love your mum.
Oh, she's great. She's
And what did she have to do to get used to it? Did she have to go away and she came back or did you stay with her?
Stayed with her. We, you know, we talked about it, but she actually said to me a little while ago, like my life completely changed when you told me you were gay. And she said, because I had to reassess a whole lot of stuff. And she'd come from a very kind of 1950s antiseptic Protestant household.
She thought she'd killed all the germs that turned people gay.
Exactly. But she said, you know, I remember seeing Dan going, well, I don't know about this. Everything that I've been taught says that this is wrong. And she said, well, maybe everything that I've been taught is wrong.
Shit, you don't think about that, do you?
No, that is.
And she's come so far. And like from saying, no, I'll never be able to accept it. Now, she's like the mum from Queer as Folk. She's like the rainbow flag flying. She adores.
She's cagged me and all
you guys. She loves all my boyfriends. And
yeah.
Like
wow.
She's totally. And she said to me, if anyone around me ever says anything homophobic, I'm straight in there.
Yeah.
I am straight in there. You know, I say, my son is gay and I will not have you. Like she's. So I guess that's kind of the point that I wanted to say.
That takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she should
absolutely.
Be commended. It takes a lot of courage to come out to someone, but it takes a lot of courage
to actually change.
To have your beliefs challenged like that.
Yes.
And to take it seriously.
And she said it's been like a domino effect. So much in her life has changed because she's had to rethink that. And
that
she
is fascinating.
Awesome. She is so awesome now and we are so close. But that's kind of, you know, if anyone's listening who's struggling with these sorts of things, I think that's important to remember that people can change and it can be a shock.
The initial response is not the final response.
Exactly. Exactly.
And look, I had someone email me, like, oh, this is a few years ago now when I was, doing breakfast radio. This kid emailed me and said, you know, I don't know how you do it. You're so positive and la, la, la. My parents hate me because I just told them I'm gay and they think my boyfriend's evil and la, la, la. And I was like, look, you just need to tell them you're not doing this to hurt them.
Yes.
This is not something you're doing to upset them, unlike many of your other behaviours, which I'm sure are designed exactly to do that.
Yes.
You're not trying to hurt them. This is something that is going to be happening in your life forever now. And I was like, well, maybe you should introduce them to your boyfriend. Like, maybe they are terrified that you're being groomed by some evil pedophile.
It's kind of the bathhouse reaction.
Yeah.
The imagination is much worse
than the reality.
They'll meet him and realize he doesn't have horns.
Well,
he
brought the boyfriend over, and the boyfriend, of course, like him, was a high school boy.
Yeah.
Like, they're both in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they realized it wasn't a scary 43-year-old
It wasn't Molly.
Or me.
Or you. Oh, yeah.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson.
Like, they were like, he wrote me a letter and goes, oh, my God. Once they met him, they were just like,
you're just a nice kid.
You're a high school boy going out with another high school boy, and this
just
is just
like when boys and girls date.
Yes.
Oh.
But a lot, because so many people still have that thing in the head that being gay is tantamount to being a pedophile.
Yeah, or you're rooting everyone, or you're doing drugs.
And you don't want to think that your kids are sexually active, no matter what age they are, even if they're 30.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, you don't want to have in your head that your child is having sex.
And you don't want to have it in your head that your child is getting it up the shit pipe.
From that black guy that he keeps bringing over to the house.
Yeah.
You know, the one that works in the curry shop.
Yeah. Oh, can I tell you, we were having lunch, Mum and Dad and I and my boyfriend Suj, who is
the black guy who works in the curry shop.
Who is the black guy who works in the curry shop.
He's a massive penis.
It's really nice. But we were having lunch and there was kind of a lull in the conversation. And this is my mum. There was just a lull in the conversation. She turned to Suj and went, "Oh, you've got lovely eyes." And I went, "Mum!
Stop hitting on my boyfriend.
Back off, bitch. Stop flirting with my boyfriend." And she went all pink and went, "Oh, no, I wasn't. Oh, stop it."
It's so bizarre.
She knows you and your boyfriend don't have an exclusive relationship.
She wants a piece of that pie. She wants to sip from that cup. What she wants.
She wants to taste that tandoori.
It's like an extra sacrament, isn't it? Coming out. It's like an extra.
Yeah, it is. It's like a baptism in a way.
You can say to someone, like, well, when you're married, when you get your first job, when did you come out?
When did you come out? It's a turning point.
But coming out's not the only, the only part of it. It's also the, dealing with the, kind of what feels like mass hatred. It feels like people that you've never met hate you.
Yes, and simply because you exist.
Especially at the moment, because there's this massive debate going on about marriage equality. So there are a lot of people talking about how unnatural, how disgusting, how offensive that just simply being gay is. So it feels like in the air there is so much negativity about just being us.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of up there. So if you're a kid at the moment, it must be distressing to think that, oh, my God, I'm one of those hideous people they keep talking about.
Yeah, that they hate.
I feel like a pariah. I feel like a disgusting creature.
That's how I felt for years. That's how I felt till I came out to, my circle in, 24, 25 years old. And I would always think, white middle-class child of privilege, oh, no, that can't happen to me.
Yeah.
I can't be one of those people.
I can remember as a teenager going, I hope this goes away.
Yeah.
I hope it goes away.
I just haven't met the right girl.
Yeah.
And I hung on till, mid, I can't believe solid you mid 20s.
I hope it goes away. I was like, I hope this doesn't stop. Because, there was a guy that I was having sex with at school when I was 15.
Oh, wow. Right.
Who kept saying, oh, yeah, this is just something guys do in school and then they'll grow up and get married. And I was like,
no.
Oh, I don't want this to stop. I love this. This is awesome.
Right.
What's amazing, what astounds me in retrospect, is the human mind's capacity for doublethink.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That as I was spending a small fortune on gay pornography, thinking to myself, I hope this, maybe after this video it'll go away. I go to this bathhouse,
I'm going
to
try and saturate the gay away.
It was like St. Augustine, God make me chaste, but just not yet.
Yes.
But I think given the hideous anti-gay rhetoric that there is around at the moment, it would be difficult if you're a kid and you were, you had feelings.
It's hard to accept this is happening to you.
Yeah. But at the same time,
especially if you live in a country town and everyone you know is totally against it.
Yeah.
And they're vocal about it because they've been told by their pastor
Maybe you don't even recognize it because you've never seen it. There's no one you can talk to about it. And you think, oh, well, maybe this is just what guys do before they get married or whatever.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is, kids, this is what I learned too late. If you think you're gay, you are.
Well, though, look at our friend Nick, who stopped.
Yeah.
Who thought he was and now is not.
He thought he was. Well, yeah, and he just followed his instincts throughout. He was for a while.
Yeah.
Like, he himself admitted that, well, I have to call myself bisexual because I spent 7 years living as a gay man.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't put a firm pin in the ground, but what he did say was that right now I'm married to a woman.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't really define the sexuality. Yes.
I think,
That's my issue with you saying, if you think you're gay, you are. Like that. That's kind of like,
hoisted on my own petards.
Yeah, totally.
If you think you're gay, then you are right now.
Then, yeah, and who cares? Just right now. Don't worry about it. It's, you know.
Don't try and force the issue with, you know, someone you don't want to actually have sex with.
Don't overthink it. Don't, you know, whatever.
Don't have sex with Scott Brennan just because he's there.
Because he will be there.
I will be there. Look, no, my advice is do have sex with me because I'm great.
Maybe we should have an "It Gets Better" shame of having sex with Scott Brennan.
It gets Brennan.
Oh, it all does in the end.
But we touched on it before, that idea of making kind of alternate families.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's a really important thing, I think, for particularly for people who are, you know, have it tough, whose families don't
Completely reject them and throw them out. You need to create your own support group.
And there are people out there to find.
Just ring us. Yeah. We're available. Yeah.
Like, I found you cunts.
Yeah, I know, but we don't like you.
I know. But so it's just like a real family then.
Just like a real family. Oh my Merry God. Christmas. Merry
well,
Christmas.
Normally when we do these videos on the internet, the gays, mm-hmm. they get celebrities in. So I think we should get on the phone to a couple of high-profile celebrity gays and see what their It Gets Better stories are.
You angry little man, I love you.
Talk poofy to me.
We've got a call on, is it line two? Line two.
Line two. It Gets Better, line two.
It Gets Better. Please introduce yourself and tell us how it gets better.
Hi, everybody's in the homosexuals. It's Jesus.
Jesus, we haven't heard from you in ages. How are you?
Ah, very good. How are you, homosexual?
We are excellent.
Just still lock it up the bum?
Yeah, we still lock it up the bum.
That's good. Where we like it. You're not gay, though, Jesus. You're
not
sure.
Gay. No, it's not the homosexuals. But no. I'm a straight-asexual.
A straight-asexual.
I like ladies.
Ladies.
I like the ladies.
Well, how are you going to contribute to our It Gets Better special?
Well, don't talk to me about It Gets Better. I got fucking nailed to a fucking tree, for Christ's sake. That's pretty much bottom of the barrel. It's uphill from there, no matter what happens. Let's face it.
It's true. You know what, Jesus? No wonder you're Jewish. You think you've got it tough?
Exactly.
I was nailed to a tree.
That's right.
Oh,
I can't drink water from my hands because I got holes in them. And you're saying it doesn't get better. Of course it gets better.
Well, I guess it got quite good for you in the end.
Well, really, yeah, it did.
Like, it took 3 days. But...
Yeah, I know, but it was hard pushing that stone back. But I went up to the heavens.
Did you spend the 3 days pushing the stone?
That was pretty much it, yeah. I'd have a little rest because I'd done my lower back on the cross.
Had you done a hammy on the cross?
Yeah, I really hurt it.
Oh, that's nasty.
That's okay because I had some gold frankincense myrrh and some tiger balm. And I put it on my back.
I always worry with the stone pushing that it'll give you some sort of a, you know, hemorrhoid.
No, and Jesus, I don't have hemorrhoids. It's one of the perks of having this job.
You must be glad that, because another way they killed people back then was disemboweling. And that would have been awful.
That would have been terrible. But let's face it, the holes in the hands on the cross line, that wasn't much fun either.
No. But disemboweling would imply every time anyone got a hemorrhoid, it would be stigmata.
That's correct, which is pretty much why we didn't do it.
And having sex up the bum would be sacrilege.
No, it'd just be clearing the way for the Holy Spirit. So that's what you're doing. So have fun, the homosexuals, and give them one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
A triple trinity penetration.
It's like the holy threesome.
Is that why it's called holy? Because it's up in your bum hole.
That's right, yes.
It's the bum holy spirit.
That's right.
So, Jesus, what would you like to say about It Gets Better to the young, fragile, suicidal listeners?
Well, it totally gets better, and just shut the fuck up, because I had nails in my hand. So stop complaining, you little poof.
Tough love, Jesus, but
tough
fair.
Love, Jesus, but if it gets bad, just give me a call. If it gets a bit hard, I'll come down and see you.
Oh, you're very sweet.
Yeah, the little puffies and the puffettes.
Oh, good.
I think they're called lesbians, the puffettes.
I don't want to say that word.
You don't want to say that word?
No.
Why?
Because it sounds like thespian and we don't like actors.
The actors all go to hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's a greater sin to graduate from VCA than to be gay.
Don't get me started.
So Beyonce's okay, but Kate Blanchett's account?
Burning in hell forever. Yeah. Pretty much. Oh, Beyonce. All the sinner ladies. All the sinner ladies. All the sinner ladies. All the sinner ladies. We like Beyonce. Beyonce!
Beyonce.
Yeah.
I think you've had a glass of holy wine, Jesus.
I've had one or two.
I think we might leave you alone.
We're doing shots with Mary McKillop.
Oh, good.
Oh, she is a terror, that one.
Oh, she can tuck it away.
She is wild.
Oh, my God. Typical Australian.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Honor Sensuals, lovelies.
All three of these men are gay.
Talk poofy to me.
We've got on the line as part of our It Gets Better episode flavour.
Yep.
We've got a legal representative. Welcome back, Constable Troy.
Hey, oh my God, it's so good to see you and hear you on the phone. Hey, did I just hurt your ears?
Stop it.
I'm not very good at riding the levels.
I'm so excited.
Why are you excited, Constable Troy?
I just haven't spoken to your voice for so long. And, oh, look, just so much has been happening. It's just so been totally getting better.
Oh,
so what contribution is the Victoria Police making to the It Gets Better campaign?
Well, Blue is in this season. So we all look fabulous.
You're not the fashion police. You don't make those dictates.
Hey, don't you tell me I'm not the fashion police, lady. Because no, Navy is totally this season, and I am so totally autumn. So it just goes so well with my skin tone.
So, Constable Troy, yep. Will the police have a float in the various pride parades around the country again this year?
Yes.
What are the plans?
Well, I'm riding the big golden truncheon in Mardi Gras next year.
Yes.
That's going to be fantastic. And in Melbourne Pride, I'm riding the big golden teaser.
So you travel. You travel with the various floats.
Yes. I go with them and I lead them and I ride them if they're big and golden. That's what I do. Oh, my God, we have just got the hottest little navy blue hot pants as well.
Is that part of the uniform?
No. I just wear them at home. It's fantastic. So, you know, we've got a really strong presence. We've got our beat outreach team.
Your beat outreach team?
Yes, which basically is just me going to beats. But I do that in my own time. So,
And the acronym for that would be BOT?
Yes, beat outreach team. Yes.
The BOT team.
Which is also my nickname. So it's kind of, I am the BOT. Yes.
So
you're the BOT cop.
What have you got to say specifically about It Gets Better to our listeners who might be wondering?
Well, it just totally gets better because then you come out of like high school or whatever it is that's really shit and awful and stuff, and then you get really a great job where you get to wear like hot pants, and oh my God, I cut the bum out of my pants! And you get to do things like that and they pay you. I can't even believe it.
I can't even believe it myself.
I'm going to ask you a very controversial question, Constable Troy.
Yes?
Have you been at the evidence locker?
Depends what you mean.
Maybe something that's been confiscated off a drug dealer may have fallen into your hands.
I think Constable Troy's been at the special tasty cupboard.
Oh, my God.
Totally. Have you removed drugs from someone's anus and put them in your mouth?
For safekeeping, obviously.
I have rinsed them first. No kids. If you're going to eat drugs that have been in someone's bum, rinse them first. Okay, I'm serious. This is a community health service announcement. Okay?
I don't think you're a real policeman.
I am a real policeman. I've got the pants to prove it.
I think you might be a porno actor.
I don't care. I feel like one
in the
now.
Movie.
Okay. It gets better, guys. It totally gets better.
Okay, thank you, Constable.
Thank you, Constable.
I'm going to go fix my hair and stare at myself in the mirror for too long.
And I'm here with Tooji, Norway's contestant for Eurovision 2012.
Oh my God, Toby, I don't know if I can have anything
much more
be better ever again.
I don't know how much better life. It can get. But if there's anyone who can make it better, mm-hmm. if there's anyone who is capable of improving
it's
things.
It's our number one celebrity that we have on this show.
It's Ms. Prue Lapse.
Hello, Prue.
Oh, and bless you for calling me a celebrity, darling.
Oh, well, you are a celebrity in our eyes.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm quite well known around the neighbourhood.
Well,
if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. Yeah, a lot of the wives don't like me, but, you know.
So, Prue, what was your coming out story? I'd be quite interested to hear what your journey was. I imagine it's quite colourful.
Yes, well, my coming out pretty much happened at birth.
So you came out of the womb, not the closet.
Pretty much, yes. Mum didn't so much have a placenta as a handful of glitter.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it was hard to push out, but God, it looked fabulous on the floor. Yes, no, I've always just been me, you know, Dahl. And you know, that's caused some problems over the years.
Mm. Yeah.
Some people can't handle me.
No, I can't handle you, for one.
No,
well,
I nominate
true.
Myself.
Yes. But, you know, I've found that once they experience the silky smoothness of the inside of my mouth, they tend to shut the fuck up.
Oh, what? This is not a Gets Better message.
We're talking to kids, aren't we?
It sounds like an advertisement.
Can't it be both?
Given that you're shacked up with a person of questionable age.
Well, no, he's 19, Adam.
Oh, really? Well, why is he at high school?
Well, he's failed a few years. He's not the sharpest cake in the paddock, if you know what I mean.
We're talking about Tristan, your living lover.
Oh, now, Tristan.
Speaking of which, Pro.
Yes.
I hear big things.
Well, yes, I do have a bit of an announcement.
Yes.
Well, Tristan has asked me to be his bride.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he got down. He got down on both knees and slipped a ring on my finger.
Was he facing you at the time?
It doesn't matter. It was romantic nonetheless.
You two are going to tie the knot?
We are going to tie the knot, yes.
Oh.
Snakes alive.
I know. It's very exciting.
Prue, aren't you intimidated by the age difference?
Oh, it's never bothered us before.
Well, yes, but still, marriage
but
is
a
big
commitment.
Well, you know, let's look, when someone...
I mean, you're older than his great-grandmother.
Oh, you watch your mouth, Toby Sullivan. Oh, look, when someone's as dumb as Tristan, they're not going to survive that long, let's face it. It's just survival of the fittest. It's just Darwin, like, he'll be dead by 25. So I've got to get in early, you see.
So have you made any plans? Will it be a church ceremony? Or?
Well, we don't know. It's all early days yet, so everything's just an open door. A bit like Tristan, really. But, everything's just open. So I'm very excited, though. He's popped my ring on my finger, and I've had to clean under the nail. But, it's quite nice.
Now, Prue, I don't mean to be indiscreet, but will you be wearing white at the wedding?
Oh, God, no.
Why not?
Oh, God, it'll be purple and black, I think. I don't know. Well, yeah, see, I can't wear white. I haven't been able to masquerade as a virgin since the age of 16, for Christ's sake, so I don't think that's going to happen.
I thought you were going to say something completely different then, and I think you very nearly did say something completely different.
I think I might have as well.
I think that very nearly actually happened.
Yes, but no, the thing is that if I walk down the aisle wearing white, I wouldn't be walking down the aisle to church bells. I'd be walking down the aisle to fucking laughter, let's face it.
Well, look, I say any wedding where you don't need to put a tarp down is a good one.
Yeah. Well, let's not limit ourselves, Toby.
certainly.
You know, we were thinking of, we're not quite sure whether we want to have a jack-off party afterwards.
For the reception.
Yes. Let's not make it jack off. Let's just make it full on orgy because it'd save on the catering.
Now, Pro, I'm interested. What is Tristan's coming out story? Did it get better for him?
I think so. He was, I'm not really sure. He was found in the bull rushes.
like
as
Moses.
As a baby, quite like Moses, yes. We think he'd been abandoned because he was a very gay child.
Oh, really?
Oh, he was. He was the only baby I know who used his rattle to do "When my baby smells at me, I go to Rio." Before he could even talk or speak, he was doing that.
Precocious.
Yes, precocious, precocious. So, yes, he's not really in contact with his parents.
Oh, that's sad.
But that's okay. I'm kind of a father and a mother to him. And it just, it did just get creepy, didn't it?
Yeah. It got very peculiar.
Got very creepy.
Very, all of a sudden.
Very creepy. But that's our relationship, take it or leave it. But I'm very happy to be a bride.
Well, so, you must be.
Yes. So, yeah, we've got a bridal register.
Right.
Where is that?
Where can you
That's at Club
that?
X. And so you can just go in there.
Can I just ask, you know, obviously you're a drag queen.
Yes, clearly.
And you, have you based your feminine aspect on a particular person?
Look, it's a little bit Lindy Chamberlain, a little bit Rhonda Birchmore. That's pretty much, it's pretty much half and half.
You sound terrifyingly like my grandmother Lorna.
Oh, really? I don't even know what you're talking about.
How do you make chicken?
The normal way, how everybody makes chicken, pop it in a bag with some Chinese fire spice. Well, how else is it?
It's Lorna Laps.
Can we not make our characters overlap, please?
Well, you're the voiceover artist.
Well, I'm trying my best.
You make them sound different.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I better smoke some more. Just register a little bit.
Well, thank you so much, Lorna, for joining our It Gets Better episode.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure, my darlings. Now I've got to go and pick out the bloody wedding dress.
Oh, well, that's going to be hard, isn't it?
It is going to be hard. I'm thinking a train.
Really?
Or a bus, I'm not sure.
To get to Savers.
Yes.
Thanks, Prue. We'll
thanks,
talk to you
Dale.
Later.
Bye.
Well, thanks to all our special guests, Scott Brennan.
I feel worthy now. I feel worthy. I feel like we've done some good.
That because you've given your It Gets Better story in 5 different voices.
Yes.
It's the only It Gets Better story that got worse as it went along.
If you are struggling with feelings of suicide and you live in Australia, 13 11 14 is the number for Lifeline. You can call them 24 hours a day for any feelings you have that you are struggling with. And overseas, by all means, Google "I'm a depressed cunt" and help.
Yes.
This is our advice. If you're overseas, Google it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Google it, sad sack. Google it.
But yeah, it's we may have brought up some things that you might have been struggling with, and if you do need help, it is out there for you. And by all means, send us an email.
Tell us your story.
Message us on Facebook. While we don't get around to answering these questions in our podcast right away, we usually do try and get back to you as soon as possible in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening.
Can I tell you, I phoned Lifeline once.
Did you?
And told them about my problems and, and what I was feeling like and what I was doing.
Yeah.
And she was a lovely woman. She was great in the end. But I told her all my shit and she went, oof.
And then she went, ha ha, fag.
I thought, it's not that bad, but I'll just call them anyway. And she goes,
oof, oof, wow. I'm going to have to get a supervisor.
Nah.
Wow. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing to have it. Yeah.
I clocked Lifeline.
Yeah.
Was that big? Did she make that noise after like 2 hours of you just spilling?
It could have been.
And were you at the bottom of a bottle?
No. Yes. Okay. Perhaps I was. I'm always at the bottom of the bottle. I haven't been sober since 1994. And why do you think I'm here?
That was the first thing you told her.
If I was in full possession of my faculties, I would not be here. I would be at my well-paid banking career, which I so richly deserve.
Oh, welcome back next week to hear an unemployed Toby Sullivan bitching about other shit on the podcast.
Talking.
Okay.
Go on, fucking get on the phone, you dumb cunt.
Who? What, who?
Aren't you coming calling as Jesus?
Oh, yeah, okay, right, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, it's Chrissy Swanon again.
They're right. Not real celebrities.
Talk poofy to me.